Fine Gael TD for Kildare South, Martin Hayden, has said that the €6.6 million in health capital funding for Kildare projects for this year is very welcome. Indeed it is. Good morning to you, Martin Hayden, and good news, I think, no matter what political perspective you would be coming from.
Good morning, Clem. Yes, absolutely. And I suppose acknowledge that a number of these projects in different parts of Kildare have had a lot of political support from representatives of small political parties across the board, whether it's Naas Hospital, in particular, which is key for us. But we continue to see our population rise very significantly in Kildare, and it's absolutely crucial that we continue to invest in our health services, both in the acute and Naas General Hospital, and also then in our community and daycare centres, where we're seeing significant investment in Kilmeag, in Monastrevin, and these will all be very
all
well,
right.
Welcome as well.
Let's go through the details. £3.55 million for Naas General, for what?
Yeah, so that's 12 modular units, Clem, and these are 12 individual separate rooms that are... first came about with the need for COVID, and there was a number of delays with the delivery of them, but they are due to be delivered in now in about June, and a lot of the building works are undergoing there already, and it will be any future plans in terms of expansion and increased use of Naas Hospital will involve more isolation rooms, individual rooms. It's the way healthcare is going in the future, and these will also be dementia friendly rooms as well, so there'll be a big addition to Naas, and the £3.55 million will ensure their delivery is continued over the course of this year.
All right, apologies folks, the line is a bit tinny in terms of that, but anyway, that's 3.55 million for 12 modular units for isolation and COVID cases and that. But it's not all the money that's going to Naas General, because there's 300,000 for allocated towards a new endoscopy unit and a dare care centre, and 400,000 will be used for a new mental health unit, thankfully, to replace Lakeview.
Yeah, so these are two critically important projects for Naas Hospital and for Lakeview, and have been a top priority of mine for some time. And this funding is relatively modest, but to keep the projects going, the endoscopy suite needs to be replaced in Naas, and this carries out day procedure units for oncology, physical therapy unit, its progression is badly needed there. We have very good consultants who work in endoscopy, and the conditions in which they're working in are substandard, and that new suite needs to be delivered as soon as possible.
Right.
As well as the new mental health acute unit for Lakeview, our present unit is not fit for purpose. It only has a capacity for 29 people, and when we as politicians are dealing with individuals and families in a time of trauma that require acute mental health facilities, often Kildare people have to leave the county and go to overflow beds in adjoining counties, and that's not good enough. So the new acute mental health unit will be on the grounds of Naas General Hospital, and when that is built, it's a really important project, because not only will it be a 50-bed unit and modern fit for purpose, but it will allow the existing 29-bed unit in Lakeview, which adjoins Naas General, to increase the capacity of Naas General Hospital and go back to the hospital. So it'll be kind of a win for both the hospital and for mental health services.
€800,000 for St Vincent's Hospital in Athy.
As you're well aware, Clem, St Vincent's Hospital provides fantastic care in the south of the county, but it is an aging premises that absolutely needs investment, and the 95-bed community nursing unit is to replace the existing capacity, and this has been done in phases to allow for the continuation of the care. So phase one will be 50 beds, and we also see in St Vincent's then the renovation of a vacant ward at present to be upgraded for existing daycare facilities to be moved into that, because there's fantastic work happens in St Vincent's in terms of daycare as well as people who stay as in.
Absolutely, indeed. That's 800,000 for the for a 95-bed community nursing unit to replace the existing capacity, and then added 100,000 towards that what's called a vacant Nightingale ward and conversion to a daycare centre. £1.09 million been allocated to the renovation of the existing dispensary building in Monastrevin.
Yeah, and great credit goes to the community of Monastreven who have fought for the upgrade of their daycare centre. Monastreven GA Club have hosted the daycare for a number of years now since they had to move out of the building due to the need for it to be upgraded. Richard O'Rourke there and a number of committee members had myself and Councillor Duffy and every other politician in the area well chased on this one. So the 1.09 million is really great news. It'll allow for the renovation of the existing building, the old dispensary, and it'll be accommodate the older person's day services unit that the HSE have there on Drogheda Street. And we're just awaiting the contractor is about to be appointed for that project, which is long overdue and will be welcomed by all.
Right, 100,000 for a new 10-bed high support community residence in Kildare Town.
Yep, so we have that for Kildare Town. We also have the same then for Selbridge, high support community residence for 10 beds. So the delivery of these, that money alone won't deliver it all in one go, but it will allow the progression of these plans, which are at an early stage. But, you know, high support in the community is really something that's very much needed for people with significant issues. And this is the move to community that we have away from our residential settings or our institutions that were a mark of our care in this country many years ago. And I think the move to community is a much better project and it's a much better approach in that regard.
Now, there's also money for Kilmeag.
Yeah, the St Vincent Ball in Kilmeag have been working for a long time with us to try and, through engaging with the HSE, to get to take over the daycare centre in Kilmeag. And this really is brilliant news for Kilmeag that we can now have the €50,000, which will allow for its progression for those daycare services that will be run under a service level agreement with St Vincent de Paul, and it'll provide community daycare and Meals on Wheels. And you know, the volunteers there in St Vincent de Paul, and I was talking to James Harris earlier, I know Pat Ivers and Chris Dowling was involved in the past as well. Great people have worked on that for a long time, so it'll be very well welcomed in the Kilmeag area.
Very, very good news again. €6.6 million in total provided this year, €3.55 million to Nace Jenner for new 12 new modular units, another €300,000 for a new endoscopy and daycare centre, and another €400,000 to progress a new mental health unit to replace Lakeview St Vincent's Hospital in Athy, €900,000 to €800,000 for a 95-bed community nursing unit, an extra €100,000 towards converting the vacant Nightingale Ward into a daycare centre, €1.09 million, that's €1,090,000 allocated for the renovation of the existing dispensary and an older person's day service unit in Drogheda Street, Monastreven, €100,000 for a 10-bed high support community residence in Kildare Town, €50,000 towards the renovation and conversion of the vacant Kilmeag Health Centre, and also, I mentioned Kilmeag, and also funds going to Selbridge as well, with minor upgrade works to two existing mental health residential units, Monowee in Athy and Hazel Cottage in Selbridge, and the provision of staff accommodation, nurses' office staff, restroom staff toilets, clinical room, and much more. Very good news indeed. Kildare South TD, Fine Gael TD, Minister of State at the Department of Health, Martin Hayden. Thank you for the heads up on that, Martin.
Thanks very much, Dan.
All right, and good morning to you. So that's certainly a considerable total of money in regards to that. And in fairness, while one listener says, you know, Martin Hayden is always on the radio when there's good news story, says Brendan Byrne in Hackettstown. But in fairness to Martin Hayden, he has acknowledged the work done by all politicians in the region in securing that money for County Kildare.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare Today on 0833 97 97 97. KFM.
Okay, I've been meaning to bring you this because it came in yesterday. Sinn Féin TD Raider Cronin in Kildare North says, like everyone in North Kildare, I was horrified by the Primetime Investigates programme there two nights ago. My heart goes out to Ryan, the young man and his family, that is a pseudonym, of course, to protect his identity. The fact this case was known by the HSE when another case arose raises serious questions about the culture of safety at Naas General Hospital, and I will be raising this with the Minister, says Raider Cronin. Furthermore, I believe when a doctor is struck off, this information should be clearly and readily available to the public on searching. To create and maintain a culture of safety for the public safety, I believe is not sufficient that a name simply does not appear. This is another difficult day for the great people working at Naas General Hospital, says Raider Cronin. And indeed, on that issue of I can't understand either, the Medical Council's response to the Primetime Investigates programme as to why this doctor who was struck off for abusing, physically and sexually abusing two patients at Naas General, their response was, we only put the names of doctors who are registered. We do not put the names of doctors who have been struck off. But surely that should be done as a means of informing the public. If a doctor is struck off the medical register, that should be immediately accessible on the Medical Council's website to alert the public, just in case other things happen again. Owen.
Well, HSE teams are targeting three music festivals this summer to spread harm reduction advice to drug users amid varying worrying trends at the drugs in circulation. The first event is the Life Dance Music Festival in Westmeath this weekend, followed by Independence in Mitchelstown in Cork in July, and a third event which is yet to be determined later in the summer. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line now by Michael Guerin. He's a senior addiction counsellor with Cún Uaire. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen. Good to talk to you.
I suppose, look, on the outset, this is welcome news. Maybe people who don't understand what exactly it is might kind of raise their eyebrows and say, are we kind of condoning drug use and perhaps drug misuse? But festivals, they're always, I suppose, a place that drugs will be taken. People will use drugs, and it's important now to try and monitor it and help people if possible.
Yes, and I suppose it represents very forward progressive thinking on the part of the HSE who are organising these initiatives, because it's absolutely guaranteed at this stage that young people will engage in drug-taking at events like music festivals, and initiatives like this one will serve to reduce the possibility of adverse events associated with that drug-taking. In an ideal world, of course, people like me, it would suit us if nobody took drugs anywhere. But the modern reality is somewhat different, and there has been a shift in policy over the last number of years towards low-threshold harm reduction initiatives like this one, because we understand that drugs are a reality for young people in Ireland. So in that respect, it's a very positive development.
HSE bosses are particularly concerned at new synthetic stimulants or cathinones, which are being sold as ecstasy to unsuspecting users, and cannabis herb or edibles being laced with synthetic cannabinoids. And I know that you spoke to us on the programme a few months back when these jellies were coming out with synthetic cannabinoids. So there's different forms of drugs now circulating.
There are, and I suppose the new generation or the new world order in terms of drugs seem to be these synthetic things that mimic the activity of other things. In other words, synthetic cannabinoids have a similar effect, or at least they are supposed to have, as regular cannabis. Now, the problem with these substances, Owen, is that they are deadly potent. And the same thing would apply for synthetic opioids, and we have seen cases where drugs have been contaminated with them in Ireland in the past.
So just explain to us, what is the difference then, Michael? Obviously, we know ecstasy, cocaine, cannabis, they're the drugs themselves, but synthetic cannabinoids, for example?
Synthetic cannabinoids are substances that are synthesized in a laboratory, and the theory is that they will bind to the same receptors that would happen in the case of somebody taking regular cannabis. But the problem is the strength of these substances is so great that the risk of an adverse event or becoming ill, or in the case of synthetic opioids, somebody going into respiratory depression because of them is very, very great. So they are extremely dangerous. And this actually goes beyond the whole music festival scene. We're now in a situation where every illicit drug user is, to a certain extent at least, taking their life in their hands when they use a drug, because there is a possibility it could be contaminated with one of these potentially deadly substances.
And also there is the risk that you don't know what's been put into it, you don't know where it's come from or who's made it or whatever.
No, you don't. And like, there are no, particularly with street drugs, there is absolutely no guarantee how many hands it has been through or what it has been cut with prior to the user getting it. So that is a very, with the advent of synthetics, I suppose, we are all fearful of that, that somebody would take something, believing it to be one thing, and it actually ending up being something else or being contaminated by something else. And that's very, very worrying indeed.
Now, the HSE addiction lead, Dr. Eamon Keenan, he said that the HSE plans to introduce limited pilot drug testing at festivals being discussed at the Department of Health and Gardaí over logistic and legal concerns, that he hadn't ruled out having it in place for the third festival as well. In terms of how this is going to work, and I know that you're not directly involved, Michael, but it seems as though there's going to be HSE-trained volunteers operating a tent, and they're going to conduct outreach in the music arenas and campsites, and they'll have a direct link with medics for emergencies. So it's kind of like a non-judgmental area.
Yes, it's absolutely non-judgmental, and it's a very low-threshold initiative. And without knowing anything or being directly involved in it, I would imagine the volunteer HSE personnel who will be at these festivals will be very much in tune with what the signs of an adverse drug-related event would be, and that they would have a direct line to paramedics and so on should somebody get into difficulty. And it's a good thing, because one would hate to see some young person who goes to a festival and does something quite innocently, in a lot of cases, undergo a serious medical adverse event or even worse.
I think that's where the balance has to be struck as well, Michael, because as I said from the outset, some people might raise their eyebrows and say, does it seem as though we're condoning drug use? And that's not necessarily what this is about at all. It's about health and safety. Drugs will be taken at festivals.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And we have to remember as well that the people we're talking about in a setting like a music festival are not, strictly speaking, drug abusers. They are very often recreational drug users. So they are people who may not necessarily be very familiar with what they're taking, and they're certainly not doing it habitually. So they may not have the smarts, if you understand what I mean, that a regular drug abuser would have in terms of different substances and so on. And I think it's only right that resources are put in place to keep these people safe and to avoid something that could be very, very serious.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, year after year we hear stories of young people who, you know, might have overdosed or didn't get the medical help that they needed, and, you know, can have tragic circumstances and outcomes as well. Nikki Killeen, HSE volunteer trainer, said our new volunteer teams will offer non-judgmental and confidential support. They'll operate between the festival community and medical teams to create a safe space for people who use the drugs. And a reminder of the festivals that the HSE teams are targeting: its Life Music Festival in Westmeath this weekend, followed by Independence in Mitchelstown in Cork in July, and then a third event which is yet to be determined later in the summer. Very important work being done. And Michael Guerin, Senior Addiction Counsellor with Cuan Mhuire, thanks for coming on to discuss that, Michael.
Thanks very much,
Owen. Take care.
Thanks indeed, lads, and good to hear from Michael again. They do such amazing work in Cuan Mhuire. Now, a very sad story just breaking at the minute. 11 newborn babies have died in a hospital fire in Senegal. Just before midnight last night, it was announced. The sympathy being extended to the families concerned. The fire apparently was caused by a short circuit and spread very, very quickly. The city where it happened, the mayor has said that 3 babies were saved, but 11 have died in the fire. How terrible is that? You know, you hear about the Uvalde situation yesterday with 20 children being shot to death and a couple of their teachers as well. And yesterday's death in Senegal now, of those 11 babies who have died in that fire, newborn babies I'm talking about here now, in a neonatal unit. It comes only a month after the nation, Senegal, had mourned the death of a pregnant woman who had waited in vain for a caesarean section. She had arrived at the hospital in another city. The staff had refused to accommodate her request for a C-section, saying that it was not scheduled. She died on the 1st of April, 20 hours after she arrived. So it's not just Ireland that has issues in regards to this situation in the health services. Amnesty's international office has said the organisation had called for an inspection and upgrade of the neonatology services in hospitals across Senegal after the atrocious death of four babies in another hospital in the country. That on top of the 11 newborn babies who have died in a fire in Senegal last night. Ultimately, extremely sad. Over to you, Ciara.
I'm joined now, Clem, by independent councillor for Kildare Newbridge MD, Fiona McLaughlin Healy. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ciara.
Now, we're going to start with you asking the council to circulate the most recent draft of the traffic management plans and the designs for Newbridge that were drawn up by the NTA. You said the process was discussed and endorsed by the councillors of the MD, and then you said the council subsequently rejected, and which triggered the council then taking responsibility for the design back in-house. What was the council's response on this?
Well, the council's response at the meeting differed somewhat to the formal written response that was provided. So, in 2017, there was a highly unusual intervention by the NTA in the council's application for a traffic management plan for Newbridge. So they'd been submitting designs for 3 years at that stage, and we got a report from the NTA, or I got sight of a report that showed that they had concerns about the council's ability to deliver value for money and to deliver tangible outcomes. So we went from that to the NTA coming in and offering a very exciting plan for public realm and traffic management plan in Newbridge. It was going to be a pilot project. There was going to be funding, match funding required of about 10 million euro to go into the main street. And we were asked to sign up to it as councillors and to be brave and step up to the plate in terms of one ways or whatever, which we did. And then we subsequently, 2 years later, after a number of follow-up motions by me, asking where that plan went to, met with the director, the then director of transport at the time in committee, who advised us that they were rejecting the NTA's plan at that point, that they weren't happy with it. And that's what I was referring to in the motion. Now, the council said in the written motion that they did not reject it.
Yeah, I'm just going to read it out here, Fiona. So the council direct quote is, on a point of correction, the Transportation Department can confirm that the NTA document, Draft Newbridge Town Transport Framework 2019, was not rejected by the council. The following documents are attached for the members' information. Number one, the draft Newbridge Town Transport Framework, and number two, the draft Newbridge Transport Plan, public consultation document that was January 2019 noted there.
Now, and here's where it differs. So when I asked what the status of those documents were, are they the documents then that we are pursuing in terms of delivering a traffic management plan for Newbridge, I was told, no, we were not. So
what are the documents that they're pursuing?
Well, the documents, they're not these ones. So they haven't rejected these, but they're not sufficient and they're not using them to go forward. So I think there's a bit of, well, there's definitely...
So what are the ones,
there.
Fiona, do you have any idea the ones
so
they are using
them,
to go forward?
I asked them at the meeting, was there separate ones? And they said yes. So there's completely new documents.
Have any of the councillors seen that?
I've asked that they circulate those new documents to councillors. So as soon as I have confirmation of which documents we're working off now, I will circulate them certainly. But I think the key here is, you know, what has been happening in terms of for the last 7 years, we have two authorities that have been rejecting each other's designs. And as you know, Ciara, the traffic management in Newbridge is chaos. Building continues to go on, and we're not getting any traffic management plan effectively on the ground. And that's
can I get one confirmation from you, Fiona? Has any councillors seen these new proposed documents?
I cannot say which documents they are definitely working off at the moment.
Okay.
So I can't confirm that.
Okay. Appreciate that.
And can I just say, Ciara, if you don't mind, this all plays into the issues around the cycle lanes in Newbridge as well, because it is impossible to succeed with a cycle lane. That is very much needed, and I am very much behind safe cycle lanes in Newbridge, but you're putting them in on top of traffic chaos. So that is why I have said previously that the cycle lanes have been set up to fail. Now, I hope some of the queries and concerns about those are being taken on board, and the council say they are taking them on board in terms of the permanent plan for the cycle lanes. But we need the traffic management plan. You know, that is absolutely key.
They're obviously integrally linked. Yes, I do understand
absolutely.
That. Look, Fiona, we're going to move on to the next one. You asked the council to address the queries and concerns. This is of Liffey Hall residents, that estate in Newbridge. Very big estate, lots of people living there. This is arising from the Glenveagh development on the adjacent Athgarvan Road, including the rationale you asked for the removal of the shrubbery at Liffey Hall in the last 12 months, and then the dumping of the weeds and rubbish, you say, at the entrance to the estate.
Yeah. Again, none of this has been challenged. But in fact, so I had the question I had asked, a different question was answered. So I asked for the rationale for the removal of shrubbery and trees, actually, at Liffey Hall in the last 12 months. And residents are of the opinion that the council removed them in relation to the development, the Glenveagh development on the adjacent road. The answer I got was that this query has been answered already. It hasn't. This is a set. There was an issue and a controversy about a very long and established hedge on the Athgarvan Road having been removed, which appeared to be outside the scope of the development at the time.
Fiona, I just want to remind our listeners, just to stop you there, just to remind them of what the council did previously say. So they have said in response to the shrubbery and the trees that the members were advised that the removal of the hedgerow did not require planning permission, and its removal was not a breach of any condition of this permission granted by On Board Planola. A landscaping plan was submitted as part of this permission and may be inspected on the website of ABP or at KCC Online Planning Inquiry System. The Kildare County Development Plan from 2017 to 2023 includes policies for the protection and management of existing hedgerows and for the replacement of hedgerows where removal is necessary during development. The Planning Department are not aware of any issues from a planning perspective in respect of shrubbery at Liffey Hall.
No, and that's the issue, because now, and I have sent in photographs from the residents of that. That is not the hedge that we were asking about. Like, that's a completely separate road altogether. It's the adjacent Athgarvan Road that they are referring to. I'm specifically and clearly asking council officials and executives who should know the district about shrubbery and trees removed at Liffey Hall.
Okay,
so
and Fiona,
I didn't get the answer to that question.
Obviously, we only have a certain amount of time, so I also want to touch on you noting the regular discoloration of the tap water in that area. What was the response from the council in terms of that?
So again, very much on this motion, you know, a lot of this is going to be discussed after rather than at the public meeting. So Joe Boland had agreed to follow up with Irish Water around that. He did provide some reassurances in that the water is safe, but obviously people have concerns around that and would like that to be confirmed.
Fiona, finally, this morning, can you clarify, or you asked the council to clarify the date by which the lease between the council and Sarsfields GAA and Newbridge United for the land that's at Rickardstown is expected to be finalised, and access to the site when it'll be permitted?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I've talked about this for some years now. This was the hockey club very kindly released that piece of land because they weren't going to be able to get funding to actually develop it some years ago now. And then for a number of different reasons, the land has not been available for access by the two clubs who won the sort of competition that there was had, or the application process from clubs to see who would get the use of the land. But Newbridge United and Sarsfield GAA had come together, and they are waiting for the council's solicitors to come back and to finalise that. And finally, we're hoping that on the basis of this report that the lease should be completed by the end of May, provided both clubs as well expedite the signing, and arrangements are being made to have the site reinstated, and it's planned to have this completed by the end of July, so access to the site can be permitted after that. And I can tell you, Ciara, that is much, much needed for the children of both those clubs. And I know there's many other clubs around the town that also need more amenity land. So the quicker we can release up this sort of land and not have it tied up for whatever reasons, the better.
Thank you very much for joining me this morning. That is Councillor Fiona McLaughlin Healy, Independent Councillor for Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. Take care.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
Okay, then, keep your messages coming to the usual sources, 0833 97 97 97. Councillor Padraig McAvoy is an independent councillor in the Claymanute Municipal District. Good morning, Padraig.
Morning, Clement, to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Right, this issue is around concerns being expressed in regards to Clane. Is it or is it not being classed as a Tier 3 self-sustaining town? What is a Tier 3 self-sustaining town, Padraig?
For anyone that's had a chance to look at the county plan, there is a sub-component or a chapter called the core strategy, and there's a table in that that identifies the kind of role and function the different towns play in absorbing growth and their development in their own right. So a Tier 1 town it would be Naas, the county town, and Maynooth, because it's in the district of the Dublin metropolitan area, is also a Tier 1 town. After that, you have Tier 2 towns, Newbridge, Leixlip, Kildare Town, Mathai, all linked to the train lines and have a certain size and capacity to grow. And then you have Tier 3, Selbridge, Gilcock, Monasterevin and Clane was added to that in this round of the county plan. Tier 4 towns, just by way of example, Salins, Kilcullen, Kill, Proctus, Rathangan, Castle Dermot and Derrinturn, and all the other towns play a role in at the village and rural settlement category. So consultation closed on Tuesday there at 4 o'clock on the draft, the first round of consultation on the draft county development plan, and there was over 600 submissions came in through the online system or by post, and people would know that stakeholders from community groups to the strategy bodies with responsibility for transport, water, energy, education, all of that kind of added their voice to the debate. The Office of the Planning Regulator, though, their submission is sort of in a different category. They have an evaluation role. To some extent, they're supposed to assess whether the draft document complies with national and regional policies or laws in some instances. And I've been able to glance at some of these. The regulator broadly welcomes many of the policies. They're saying it's a good plan, and I tend to agree. It's addressing the issues that we have to do for the climate change catastrophe that's coming ahead of us, and maybe balancing Kildare's role in responding to national obligations to prepare for housing growth, but aligning where that happens with the national priorities for infrastructure. But this core strategy, if you like, is a skeleton, and all the other policies sort of fit around it. It sets out that hierarchy so that it fits with the national region policies. But I kind of tend to think of it, it's a bit like trying to weave new threads into a tartan blanket. You're going to miss some loops, you're going to leave gaps, and maybe you'll overput some too much thread in some parts of it. Now, that might be a bit of a silly analogy, but I'm trying to point out it's quite a complex process with an awful lot of voices and competing voices coming into it. But anyway, the regulator calls out Clane in particular. It really stands out in the document, and the growth rates in Clane since the early 1990s are quadrupled, is more or less. And there's a particular sentence in the document. It says, there's a real danger, therefore, that Clane will grow at a rate that is disproportionate to the capacity of its social and physical infrastructure to meet the needs of the community, and will result in car-dependent travel patterns, contrary to the national strategic outcomes in the National Planning Framework for Sustainable Mobility and the transition to low carbon and climate resilient society. Now, to be fair, the chief executive at the point when this plan was being put out to consultation recommended that Clane proceed at a Tier 4 level, but on foot of a proposal from the councillors, it was put up to a Tier 3 stage. And there are over 1,000 houses permitted under strategic housing development permissions. That's where Ambord Pinola had the seem to take the authority, although I would dispute it, that they could grow any particular site above beyond what was permitted in the local area plan and the environmental assessments that go with it. So it's very interesting to see the Office of the Planning Regulator echo the concerns that are local in Clane, and I hope that these concerns will be taken on board at the next stage of the plan.
All right, Padraig, let's see how that goes down the road anyway in terms of any further developments on that. That's Independent Councillor Padraig McAvoy on that issue of the... Thank you, Padraig, and good morning to you. On that issue of Clane being designated as a Tier 3 self-sustaining town. Okay then, just before we move on, let's hear indeed from the NACE Biodiversity Group, because there's a series of talks coming up there, Owen, is there not?
NACE Biodiversity Group are hosting a series of in-person informative talks this summer to help us all understand our natural environment better and appreciate the wonderful natural habitats that we have here in County Kildare. Joining me on the line is Liz Deneef of the NACE Biodiversity Group. Liz, good morning, welcome to the programme.
Morning, thanks very much, Owen.
So the series opened at the beginning of May with a talk from Fionnuala Corcoran of Kilcock Communities for Climate Action. She gave an overview of biodiversity and an introduction to hedgerows, but there are still four talks remaining then over the next couple of months.
That's right, Owen, yes. So as you say, we're running a series of free public talks, and the next one is happening this Saturday, the 28th of May at 3 o'clock, and we're delighted to be joined by Nuala Madigan of the Irish Peatland Conservation Council, which is based in the south of the county. And she is going to give a talk on composting and how to get started making and managing your own 100% natural and organic compost at home. Nuala is a peatland specialist and a home composter, and she's over 14 years experience doing these kinds of talks. So it's a really good one for anyone who's interested in the importance of home composting and what it does for habitat conservation and climate mitigation. It's a really good talk, and we hope to see people there. As I say, it's at 3 o'clock in Macaulay Place this Saturday.
Yeah, all talks take place in Macaulay Place. They're free of charge, and you're able to register for the events online at eventbrite.com. We'll go through the other three events in a moment, but as you say, the 28th of May, this coming Saturday, Nuala Madigan of the Irish Peatland Conservation Council. I think when it comes to biodiversity, I mean, Biodiversity Week was only last week. A lot of people are becoming more au fait with what they can do, and they're probably more encouraged now to get involved.
Absolutely agree, and as you say, Biodiversity Week was last week and there was huge engagement in it. You're absolutely right. I think we're all becoming more aware of the steps that we can take at home, and you can really see people are not cutting their lawns as tightly. They're, as you say, engaging in home composting. You can just really see that we're all sort of changing the way we're starting to think about our homes, our gardens, our local areas, our communities, and we can see community gardens springing up all the time. Actually, that's one of the talks that will be coming up on the 18th of June. Pat Pender, from who many of your listeners might know, set up the Zero Waste Garden in Rathcoffey, which is an absolutely remarkably successful Zero Waste Garden, and he's going to take us through sort of how we started the project, how it was so successful, and I think it's something people would be really keen to replicate across the county, because exactly as you say, people are just so much more engaged now in this issue and see that the biodiversity crisis and the things we need to do to support our biodiversity are as important as the climate crisis. And also I think people feel it's something they can do. You know, sometimes the very big climate issues can seem almost very hard to even understand and take in, whereas I think biodiversity and understanding the nature in our area and in our homes and our communities, it can seem like it's something we can all actually all support and help with, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned Pat Pender there. I spoke to him on the programme a couple of months back, and I actually called down to Rathcoffey to see the Zero Waste Garden. It is just incredible down in Moortown Drive, and I know that they have a market as well, I think once or twice a month in Clane GAA, so it's incredibly popular. The other two events then, the Saturday the 11th of June, for those who don't understand or maybe don't know what biodiversity is or what it means, Dr. Ursula King is giving a talk on that.
Exactly. That's one of the things about these talks. All of these speakers are based in and around Kildare, which is really incredible, you know, that we have such a breadth of expertise here in the county. But as you say, Ursula King will be giving a talk on the 11th of June. And Ursula is just, she's a fantastic speaker. She's incredibly passionate about meaningfully addressing the issues that relate to biodiversity loss in Ireland. She has a wealth of knowledge on this issue. She teaches courses on plant science and ecology and the environment. So she's really good at this kind of stuff, and she's going to be covering the basis of what does biodiversity mean, what are the important sites we have here in Kildare, what are the semi-natural habitats we have in Kildare, And, you know, so she really brings, she's huge experience herself. She trained as a horticulturalist at the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin. And I know I've heard her speak before, and she just really brings the whole issue alive and helps us to understand the things that we can be doing and observing in our local communities.
This promises to be a great series of talks. That's Liz Deneef of the NAIS Biodiversity Group on those upcoming talks, so you can check that out. Should be quite fascinating and nice contribution to the general stuff as well. Guide Dog Day is tomorrow, the 27th of May. There'll be fundraising at Dun Stores, Newbridge and Super Value in Monastrevin. We're told the continued support of the people of Kildare is very much appreciated. And one other announcement, the Padre Pio glove will be in Anne Fitzpatrick's house in Kilberry outside the Tie on this Saturday also.